From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Friday, August 25th. Coming up, we'll learn about how healthcare providers check on the well-being of farmers affected by the heat this week. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Some central Illinois schools are staying closed today as the heat wave continues. The Unit 4 School District has canceled Friday classes for Centennial High School and Edison Middle School due to problems with air conditioning in those two buildings. All other Unit 4 schools are open today. However, Yellow School bus service is canceled for the day. All schools in Danville School District 118 are closed today, but schools are back open in Urbana School District 116. School officials are asking parents to send a refillable water bottle to school with each student. Also, tonight's Champaign Central varsity football game against visiting Normal West will start at 8 p.m., an hour later than originally scheduled. For the latest on your forecast, safety information, and cooling centers, visit our website, ipmnewsroom.org. Illinois is the first state to pass a law giving rights and protections to young people that have found their calling as social media influencers. It will ensure that they are compensated for their work. 15-year-old Shreya Nalamathew thought of the legislation while doing research for a class project.
A lot of these very young children were being featured on blogs that had millions and thousands of views, thousands of subscribers, and was generating compensation at just an unbelievable rate. But there's no guarantee that any of the money from the work that they're doing is being set aside for them.
The law takes effect next July. It will protect children under 16 who appear in a certain percentage of videos that generate at least 10 cents per view. If they don't get their earnings in the form of a trust at 18, they can sue. It only took a federal jury 5 hours to convict a top aide to former Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan of perjury and obstruction of justice. Dave McKinney has more.
One of Springfield's most powerful men for decades was humbled yesterday. Timothy Mapes visibly swallowed hard before his guilty verdicts were announced, then sped out of the Dirksen Federal Building without answering questions. The detail-oriented former Madigan chief of staff wanted jurors to believe that he simply couldn't remember things when he appeared before a federal grand jury in 2021. But a different jury agreed with the prosecution that Mapes lied to protect his old boss. That result was a further dismantling of the once powerful Madigan machine. Sentencing for Mapes is January 10th. He faces up to 5 years in prison for perjury and 20 years for attempted obstruction of justice. This is Dave McKinney.
A new Illinois law will require for-profit colleges to pay back state aid if they deceive students. Lisa Phillip reports.
Danielle Stanley helped draft the legislation. She's with the advocacy group Partnership for College Completion.
It's discouraging when you are thinking you're doing the right thing, living the American dream, going back to school to better your livelihood, your household, and being told by the recruiters that if you go here, you can receive that. And then it turns out it's not true.
Stanley says for-profit colleges have historically spent substantially more on marketing than public and private nonprofit colleges. And that often leaves few dollars to support students. She hopes the new law will protect students from being taken advantage of and hold for-profits accountable for bad behavior. Lisa Phillip, WBEZ News.
During the pandemic, federal waivers allowed all students to get free school meals. That ended last year. Peter Medlin reports on a new Illinois law trying to increase access to free school meals.
The Healthy School Meals for All Act went into law this month, but Maine sponsor Maurice West says there's still a lot of work to be done. During this fall's veto session, he's trying to secure more funding for the program.
Back before the Great Recession of 08-09, the state of Illinois was putting upwards of $26 to $28 million a year into the free meals program, and now we are only at $9 million.
The goal during the veto session is to increase state appropriations from $9 million to $120 million a year. Many schools utilize the community eligibility provision to provide free meals to all students, not just low-income kids. And Representative West says with the state only paying $9 million in, they can't help bridge the gap between the federal funding and the cost the school district pays to provide the meals. Right now, West says only 57% of schools who qualify are using it. I'm Peter Medlin.
Still to come, we'll learn about how healthcare providers check on the well-being of farmers affected by the heat this week. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
Take a deep dive into the meaning and history behind some of America's most quintessential symbols and stories with the series Iconic America. David Rubenstein, who's a lifelong student of American history, examines America's past through the lens of our most emblematic symbols and landmarks. Rubenstein explores the meaning and origins of icons that connect us to our country's past. Friends of WILL can watch all episodes now with WILL Passport. Find out more at will.illinois.edu/passport.
The extreme heat this week affects people who work outside, like farm workers. Maria Gardner-Lara takes a closer look at the healthcare providers who, regardless of the temperature, check on their well-being.
It's right before sunrise. Farm workers are being seen by healthcare providers. Clinic staff from Community Health Partnership of Illinois have set up stations in this farm's main garage. Workers will have their blood pressure taken and get a finger pricked to test their glucose level for diabetes.
Y si alguien sale muy alto, lo referimos, le damos seguimiento. Si necesita cita con doctor, lo llevamos al doctor. She's good? Okay.
That's Elena Galarza. She's the outreach coordinator at the clinic. She says if it's too high, they'll follow up with a doctor's appointment. She reaches out to employers and sets up clinic visits on farms and ranches throughout northern Illinois and southern Wisconsin. In addition to taking their vitals, Galarza says the visits let the workers know the clinic is available to them. Galarza was once a farm worker, newly arrived in the U.S., and recalls not knowing how to get health care. I know what it's like to work in the fields, to arrive to another country and not know English, and not know where to go, to work while feeling ill because you don't know how to visit a doctor, because you don't even know who to call. Galarza says for 5 years she lived and worked on a farm, cultivating corn, onion, and broccoli. She says one of the factors that make farm workers susceptible to illness is that working outside, regardless of the weather. Obviously, you have more possibility of getting sick when you're working the fields because you're exposed to the elements. If it's raining, you're still working. If it's very hot, you're working. And if it's cold, you're working too. Daniel Garcia is a nutritionist and a diabetes specialist. He says their schedule also affects their health.
The
work schedule can determine what I eat, at what time, and the moment that I eat, all important factors. The work is very heavy, and so sometimes they are eating very early or very late due to the work schedule. It's the height of the farm season, and the men and women have been working long hours, 7 days straight, for several weeks, to meet farm workers where they're at. Galarza and the team meet them on the farm. But to do so, she needs permission from the employer. She says some employers understand the benefit of having their employees receive health checkups. Others tell her it's a waste of time. What they don't understand is if you have a healthy worker, he's going to work more. The employer and the employee wins. In addition, the service is free. The clinic's work is part of a federal program under the Migrant Health Act. The law was signed by President John F. Kennedy in 1962 and authorizes healthcare services to farm workers. Bethany Bogus-Alcator is a researcher for the National Center for Farm Worker Health.
This was the first federally funded approach to trying to get primary health care services to people that didn't have insurance. And farm workers were the impetus for that whole program.
She says the law launched federally qualified clinics across the country. These are places that can't turn anyone away from receiving primary care and charge for services based on household income. Among the uninsured are many undocumented farm workers who are not eligible for Medicaid nor the ACA marketplace.
It's estimated that around 50 or 60% of everybody that is a farm worker is undocumented. They have no authorization to be or work in the U.S. And then around 10 or 15% have these temporary H-2A visas.
Farm workers are at a higher risk than other professions of developing respiratory diseases, skin disorders, and other health conditions. And that's because of the hazards some are exposed to on the job, like pesticides. She says even with the migrant health program, in some parts of the country, farm workers face barriers to accessing care. Among some of the logistic issues is transportation.
It's a really big issue for those visa workers because they rely on their employer to provide transportation. None of them have their own transportation for the most part.
Galarza says that's definitely an issue they face at the clinic. If a provider refers a patient for a follow-up at the clinic and the patient doesn't have a way to get there, well, they try to figure it out. I'll call my friends, acquaintances, to see if there's someone that can give a farm worker a ride to the clinic. We find a way. Galarza started her new role in November and says she already sees areas she'd like to see improved to increase access to care. I'd like to find more partnerships with other providers that we can make referrals to workers that have serious health issues. She says those partnerships have dwindled over the years. An Illinois program offers health insurance to adults, regardless of immigration status, that helps to close this gap. But enrollment to that program was suspended in June. At another location, about 80 farm workers line up to be seen by a healthcare worker. Galarza is in the midst of the bustle. She gives hugs to some familiar faces. One patient says he's known Elena for 6 years, since his first migration to the farm. Galarza says the hugs help build trust with the patients. It's when they share their concerns that she can help address them. She says one woman told her she feared that by seeking health care, she may not be hired for another season. So Galarza spoke with the manager, who told her the farm workers can seek care without fear of repercussions. Staff are packing up after a busy morning. They'll head back to the clinic and prepare to visit another farm in the evening to catch farm workers at the end of their shift. I'm Maria Garner Lara.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says an excessive heat warning remains in effect until 10 p.m. Dangerous heat and humidity levels will lead to heat index values of 105 to 115 degrees across central Illinois. Your forecast for today, mostly sunny, hot, and humid, with a chance of a thunderstorm late in the day and a high of 95 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by May Antar, Dave McKinney, Lisa Phillip, Peter Medlin, and Maria Gardner Lara. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a great weekend.